Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Ever so often, I see a news feed or something on the net about the same story about the time the police in Rainer, Pennsylvania, interrogated a suspect. They put a metal bowl on his head, connected it with wires to the copy machine. The police placed the message, "He's lying," on the copier and pushed the button every time they thought the suspect wasn't telling the truth. Believing the lie detector was working, he confessed. We've all heard that criminals sometimes do stupid things, so the story could be true, but it's not. But let me tell you one that is. These two guys broke into a convenience store in Texas, and, they saw something about a drawing for $100. They both filled out the form, put it in with their address and name, and that's how the cops called them. Anyhow. The world is full with deceptions and lies. And of course, we know what the Word of God says about the father of lies. We see that in John 8:44 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "You are the father of the devil, and it is your will to practice the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar and the father of lies and half-truths." Satan was the first liar. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were living in a setting of bliss. The devil approached Eve first in Genesis 3:1-6. The enemy's first recorded lie was a half-truth.
Genesis 3:1 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "Now the serpent was more crafty, subtle, skilled in deceit than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent, Satan, said to the woman, 'Can it really be that God has said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'"
Two observations on this verse. First, the serpent was clever and sneaky. In fact, Genesis 3:1 says the serpent was more crafty, subtle, skilled in deceit than any other living creature of the field which the Lord had made. New Living Translation of that same verse says the serpent was the shrewdest of all animals. The Contemporary English Version of Genesis 3:1 says the snake was sneakier than any of the other wild animals the Lord had made. And Genesis 3:1 in the Message Bible says, "The serpent was clever, more clever than any other wild animal God had made." My fine wife, Bev, and I lived in Texas for 23 years, where there's more rattlesnakes than you can possibly count. Unless you're wise and perceptive, you won't know that you've walked up on a rattlesnake till it's too late. Simply because if you hear the rattle, it's too late. Need to always be aware of your environment and on guard against the attacks of a snake. The natural truth is also a spiritual truth. We should never put ourselves in a place where we can be deceived. Here are three things that are a setup for deception. Number one, exaggerating or overstating the facts. Number two, understanding the consequences, not connecting the dots or completing the picture. Three, the fruit looked good, pleasant, and desirable. It had all the ingredients for addiction. The pleasure of sin, as they say, is good for a season, but then you die. We must not put ourselves in a position where evil tempts, deceives, or strikes at us. Second, there's no such thing as a half-truth. Because by definition, It's designed to obscure facts and cause a person to draw the wrong conclusion.
A half-truth is the same thing as a whole lie. Eve corrected Satan in Genesis 3, picking up in verse 2 and 3, this also in the Classic Amplified Bible. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God said, you shall not eat from it, nor touch it, otherwise you will die." Here it is. God said, "You shall not eat of the tree," which Eve interprets as, "You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it." We don't know that God mentioned touching the tree of the fruit or the fruit, but Eve did. Satan spoke a complete lie in Genesis 3, verse 4 in the Classic Amplified when he said, "But the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die."
The enemy was seeking to cast doubt on the promises of God. He actually told three lies, and big surprise, he still is trying every day to cast doubt on the promises of God. He told three lies. Number one, the enemy lies about the word of God. He cast doubt on God's word. Did God really say? See, he's still doing the same thing today. The enemy distorted God's word by saying, "You must not eat of any tree in the garden." As previously discussed, that's not what God says.
Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, you may freely, unconditionally eat the fruit of every tree of the garden, but only from the tree of the knowledge, recognition of good and evil you shall not eat. Otherwise, on the day that you eat from it, you shall most certainly die because of your disobedience."
Satan took what God said, his word, and twisted it into something that God didn't say. The enemy denied God's word by saying, "You shall not surely die." Yes, the enemy of your destiny is still trying to do the same thing to you today. Number two, the enemy lies about God. The enemy is actually saying that God doesn't have Adam and Eve's best interest at heart. He basically told Eve that God didn't really care about them because he was keeping something good and powerful from them.
Genesis 3, verse 5 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "For God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. That is, you will have greater awareness and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil."
Satan lies about God's word, and he lies about God. Number three, the enemy lies about sin. Once again, Genesis 3, 4 in the Classic Amplified. "But the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die." In essence, the devil's telling Eve that sin won't hurt her. He's still doing the same thing today. Totally not true.
Numbers 32, verse 23 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "But if you do not do this, behold, you will have sinned against the Lord, and be sure that your sin will find you out."
We can run, but we can't hide. Our sins will find us out. The world is filled with deceptions and lies that a believer must be aware of and constantly on the lookout for. What does the word say about lying? First, the Lord detests liars and finds them disgusting.
Proverbs 12, verse 22 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "Lying lips are extremely disgusting to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight." The New Living Translation of Proverbs 12:22 says it this way: "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth."
Second, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Proverbs 19:9, New Living Translation. "A false witness will not go unpunished, and a liar will be destroyed." Johnny Cash had a song entitled Ring of Fire. Well, unrepentant liars are headed to more than a ring of fire.
Psalm 101, verse 7, in the New Living Translation. I will not allow deceivers to serve in my house, and liars will not stay in my presence. If we're not in God's presence, then we're not going to be in heaven.
Third, there's no such thing as a little white lie. I've had people say to me, well, it's just a little white lie. It won't hurt anybody. Sometimes people even say, I didn't lie. I just didn't tell the whole truth. A lie is a lie, no matter how you try to make it look or sound better. I once heard a man saying he wasn't lying, that he was engaging in terminological inexactitudes. I'm amazed and disappointed at the number of politicians who lie with ease. These politicians will be, well, they'd be insulted if compared to Adolf Hitler. But listen to the quote, which I believe drives many politicians and media pundits. Hitler said, if you tell a lie big enough and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. One more passage of scripture on how God feels about lying.
Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19 in the Classic Amplified Bible. These six things the Lord hates, indeed seven, are an abomination to him. A proud look, the spirit that makes one overestimate himself and underestimate others, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that manufactures wicked thoughts and plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies even under oath, and he who sows discord among his brethren.
The Lord hates lying. And that's a good thing to remember. Mark Twain once said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. God doesn't need a lie detector to tell if we're lying. He knows if we're telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Here's the bottom line. If we're wondering why we're not having breakthroughs in certain areas of our lives, maybe a little self-examination. Have we been exaggerating, stretching the truth, little white lies? If we have been, two words, stop it. Stop it. Ask for forgiveness. Turn things around and move on. Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to heraldhearing.com. And up at the top where it says, sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. It's all we ever ask. Until tomorrow morning at this time, 8:30 Eastern, well, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.